Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And a good Saturday morning to you from... Where are we, Mark? We're at the Eastern Shore Toyota Hyundai. Right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And boy, I'm lost here. We're okay now, Steve. Whatever you did, your magic. Now Mark's lost.
I stay lost, though. That's not an uncommon occurrence for me.
There you go. He stands up and is fixed.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. And Randy's not here.
I know.
He's on assignment.
He usually gets this thing off to a roaring start.
I know, and he's always got something, you know, something sweet to bring us in tune.
Yeah,
know?
He does. That's well, sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes he comes up with those fat jokes.
Well, that's right. The fat pack or whatever. That's right.
I miss our man because in the room I'm sitting in right now, I can't see anybody eye to eye, so that really bothers me a little bit. I'm looking up at these guys.
Congratulations on a Bayside win and a region championship last night.
You know, it was really it's a really good feeling to go out and especially go into T.R. Miller. I don't care. You got to go to Brewton, Alabama to play T.R. Miller at home for a region championship, and it's not an easy feat. That town has got tremendous heritage and tradition in their athletic program, especially in football. And they recognized a lot of those guys last night. I think last night was legacy night for them there. But great win for Coach Trotter, you know, taking our team to a region championship. And the last region championship that was won at Bayside was actually back in 2011. Coach Lazenby's team went undefeated that year. And that was the last time we had won a region championship. So really, really happy about the way our kids performed and played last night, took care of business, and we'll get ready. We'll enjoy this one today and tomorrow go back to work for Tuscaloosa Academy.
You know, and coaches always say that, but in all reality, you enjoy it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Tuesday, you start packing your bags and thinking about, yeah, this is where we are. But you guys are going to work on Sunday and start thinking about Game 10 with Tuscaloosa Academy. But a win like a win over T.R. Miller, it goes with you for a long time because it's just not – I mean, they're
Didn't
perennial.
That
That's
much.
Right. They're perennial. A perennial
Well, they're the winningest program in the state of Alabama. And that's something that, you know, you don't overlook. You just go in their field house in Brewton, go into their field house and walk through it. And everywhere you look is history. Everywhere you look, there are jerseys, there's newspaper prints, there's – all trophies, all kinds of stuff about their tradition of Tiger football there and at T.R. Miller. It's a great place to go. Enjoyed seeing some of my friends there for last night, and it was a good trip up. I'm really glad we got the win. We needed to get a win like that, and keep on rolling now. You know, and like I said, today I'll be at home, you know, getting ready to watch some college football on the TV while either my iPad or my phone is in my hand watching Tuscaloosa Academy. We'll be watching them during the day today.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I can't help it. Too interested to find out what we got to do tomorrow.
You got plenty of time to get ready for Tuscaloosa Academy, and a lot of people won't even look at Week 10. I mean, for more than a day or so, because they're going to begin to focus on, you know, their playoff opponent. But that's what I hear from younger coaches is, you know, Week 10 now, we'll get ready. But, you know, what we're trying to do is make sure that we go into that playoff game ready to play. We don't do anything this week to hurt our chances of being successful in Week 1 of the playoffs. Still focused on Week 10, but at the same time, they're focusing on Week 10 with Week 1 in mind. Is that true?
To an extent, yeah. You always want to kind of know. You know, like I've already looked up to see who we match up with in the playoffs just to see what it looks like. And I don't know if that's confirmed or not, but from what I can tell, I already know who it is. I know we'll be home.
Right.
And we'll start getting ready for that. But at the same time, we got 40-something kids who are going to go out and play in a ball game this coming Friday night, and they want to have the best opportunity to win that game.
Yeah.
And we're going to get them focused in on playing at home for their last, you know, home regular season game and get ready because, you know, TA beat us last year 14-13. And
They went on to play for a really good championship team.
But, you know, we'd like to kind of get that back to them. So we'll go ahead and get it prepared and get – but we're going to put our emphasis on TA and worry about Houston Academy or whoever it is the next week at home. We'll go ahead and start getting some ideas of what we might want to do or what they're doing. But for the most part, it's all TA.
Mark, before we get into the scores, I want to talk a little bit about something that's going on at State and in Montgomery. And for some reason, I feel like there are some schools, some private schools, that feel like we are better off leaving the AHSAA and kind of going out on our own. Mark, I'm completely against that. I think that whatever happens, if they separate us and we have to play a private school state championship, I believe that we are all better together. And I believe that we need to stay with the AHSAA, an organization that has governed high school sports for 100 years and in Alabama, and not let an entity outside come in like the legislature and let them have their input into it. I just think we're better off all together. But I'm hearing that there's a movement among private schools across the state to completely leave the AHSAA. I think that's a bad, bad move.
Well, there's two sides to that coin, and I see your side of it completely. At the same time, I think private schools are a little bit sick and tired of being not having any voice in the High School Athletic Association, in the fact that every time public schools get aggravated or whatever about recruiting or what they perceive as recruiting and what the private schools are winning, so they put the qualifier on us, the numerical qualifier years and years ago, 1.35. Okay, fine. Now they add competitive balance to private schools only.
Yeah, I understand.
That's not fair. It's not fair.
No.
There's no reason Ann Schilling should have to take her 3A size school volleyball team and go play a 7A team just because she wins.
I'm not discussing that.
The thing about it is, that's why they're aggravated, because they feel like all it happens is anytime they're going to make sure that the private schools are punished and they're not getting their just due. That's my personal opinion.
Well,
now are we better off by ourselves? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know that. It's uncomfortable ground for me.
Yeah,
but I don't know if there's a place to reconcile, because I don't feel like there is a group of people who want to reconcile it in the public or in the legislative council right now.
So you feel like that our legislative council is not willing to mediate with the private schools and do away with the 1.35 and just go with competitive balance across the board for everybody?
I don't think so. I've not heard anything like
that.
Well,
see, I do believe that.
Well, that would be great if they did something to help, because they're not doing – I haven't seen anything right now that they've done anything to help us.
Well, I think at some point in time we'll do away with
numerical qualifier. But the thing about it is, Rick, is that's not the biggest thing. Competitive balance is the one.
Right.
But it should be done
– across the board.
Because private schools – they talk about private schools this. City school systems, and I've worked in them. I know what they are.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with them. But I said from the very beginning on this thing years ago when it started that they would be the ones who benefited the most, because it was the same type atmosphere, except they have tax dollars that they're going to bring in, and it's one school, one board, one group of people, and they can do whatever they want to set. So that's good for them. But don't penalize private schools just because there's some schools who don't get whatever they need.
Well, I don't feel like there is a formula for private schools to break away and to be their own entity. I just don't. I've seen what the AISA does, and I think it's less than, let's just put it that way. It's less than what the AHSAA does. And we see all of their better schools jumping to the AHSAA. I say take away the 1.35, put competitive balance on everybody, and then we'll be fine regardless of what happens in Montgomery now. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, we'll have the Gulf City Body and Trailer Works scoreboard.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Gulf City Body and Trailer Work and give you the state scores from last night. And Mark, I'll start them off with the A's, B's, and C's.
Abby, are you on this?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Abbeville 28, Sampson 26. Abbeville Christian 36, Edgewood 14. Addison 48, Phillips Bear Creek 6. Alexandria 40, Etowah 22. American Christian 63. Holt 34, Anniston 51, White Plains 6. Appalachian 49, Valley Head 28, Ayrton 35, Geneva County 24, Ashford, little state, gets a win.
Yeah, he
does. 42, Daleville 6, Athens 49, Decatur 14, Auburn goes to Rip Hughes in Dothan and wins over Dothan 39-26, Austin 35, Grissom 14, Baker 35, Fairhope 10. Congratulations to Coach Eric Scott. That's the first region championship, I think, in 35-plus years. Bayside Academy, 23, T.R. Miller, 14. Also congratulations to Coach Barrett Trotter. And the Bayside players and staff, that is their first one since what, the 90s, Mark?
2011,
okay. Region champions. Beauregard 14, Valley 7, Benjamin Russell 42, Chelsea 21, Barry 47, Brilliant 8, Billingsley 40, Keith 8, Blount 34, St. Paul's 28, Boaz 37, Arab 22, Brantley 47, Kinston 34, Brewer 39, Sardis 32, Briarwood 49, Hayden 7, Brooks 38, West Limestone 0, Brookwood 20, Paul Bryant 0, Bullock County 14, Claiborne County 12.
Catholic Montgomery 23, Andalusia 17 in overtime. Center Point 46, Springville 21. Clay Central County 6, Pell City 3. Central Tuscaloosa 37, Hueytown 21. Chambers Academy 62, Bessemer Academy 7. Cherokee County 42, Asheville 18, Chickasaw 12, St. Luke's 9, Choctaw County 52, R.C. Hatch 0, Citronelle 33, Alberta 7, Clark County 34, Washington County 21, Colbert County 60, Sheffield 7, Collinsville 45, Holly Pond 22, Coosa Christian 56, Tuscaloosa Academy 21, Cordova 14, Haleyville 13, Cottage Hill 13, Flemington 7, Cottonwood 34, G.W. Long 26.
Kevin Riley.
Crenshaw Christian 30, Hooper 20, Coleman 22, Buckhorn 19, Dadeville 33, Childersburg 10, Dale County 62, Geneva 0, Daphne 60, Robertsdale 13.
Elba 47, Florella 34, Elmore County, Sylacauga 14, Enterprise 37, Smith Station 0, Fairview 40, East Limestone 10, Fauntville 28, Cold Springs 22, Fayetteville, Coach John Limbaugh continues to roll, Fayetteville 49, Elwood 0, Foley 26, Alma Bryant 21, Fort Payne 49, Lee of Huntsville 24, Georgiana 48, Pleasant Home 3, Geraldine 17, 5 6. There you go, Mark. And Geraldine's had their number now for
a couple of years.
Yeah. Glencoe 45, Locust Fort 14, Good Hope 35, Dora 15, Gordo 61, Carbon Hill 25, Greenville 27, Escambia County 18, Gulf Shores 31, Baldwin County 12, Gunnersville 28, Douglas 14.
Hackleberg 32, Cherokee 0, Hale County 33, Dallas County 0, Hamilton 38, Fayette County 21, Hanley 42, Booker T. Washington 12, Hatton 47, Central Florence 7, Hazel Green 38, Southside Gadsden 29, Headland 41, Carroll of Ozark 8, Helena 39, Calera 21, Hewitt Trustful 49, Tuscaloosa County 7, Highland Home 28, Calhoun 0, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa 25, Oak Mountain 23, Homewood 31, Minor 14, Hope Oxford 42, Lakeside 6, Hubbardville beat Summerton Christian in a forfeit, Huntsville 21, Bob Jones 10, Isabella 30, Lamar County 7, J.F. Shields 31, Marengo 12, J.U. Blackshire 54, Bayshore Christian 3, Jackson 49, Satsuma 14, James Clemens 45, Albertville 0, Jasper 61, Columbia 22.
That's 100 losses in a row.
In a row.
Man.
Mm. Jemison 42, Montevallo 6, Julian 14, Park Crossing 7, Lafayette 38, Horseshoe Bend 0, Lynette 48, Ranburn 7, Lauderdale County 37, Colbert Heights 12, Lee Scott Academy 36, B.B. Comer 8, Leroy 51, Millery 14, Lexington 69, Tharptown 6, Lochapoca 60, Pike Liberal Arts 0, Laverne 54, Goshen 21.
Madison County 34, D.A.R. 20, Maplesville 42, Verbena 0. Maplesville is really, really, really good, and I would expect to see them in a state championship game against Wadley. That's a prediction.
Might be coming.
That's they're very good. Marbury 21, Hopeville 14, Marion County 54, Pickens County 12, Mars Hill Bible 52, Clements 0, Mary Montgomery 49, Davidson 0, McGill Tulin 45, Spanish Fort 32, McIntosh 52, Fruitdale 8, McKenzie 62, Red Level 0, Meek 52, Vina 8, Monroe County 28, Excel 14. Congratulations, Monroe County. Montgomery Academy 50, Alabama Christian 21, Moody 48, Lincoln 6, Morgan Academy 36, Fort Dale Academy 29, Mountain Brook 34, Shades Valley 7, Muscle Shoals 31, Hartsel 17. Muscle Shoals came back and scored the last 28 points in that game. Scott Basden's team wins that 6A Region 7, I believe. That's a huge, huge win for Scott Basden and that Muscle Shoals team. North Jackson 27, Randolph 21, Northside 48, Demopolis 14, Oakman 50, Midfield 22, Ohatchee 28, Sachs 8, Oneonta 21, Hoax Bluff 14, Opelika 24, Carver Montgomery 14, Op 38, Strawn 22.
Patrician 49, Jackson Academy 6, Pelham 21, Leeds 14, Phil Campbell 76, Hansville 29, Piedmont 56, Walter Welburn 16, Pike County 42, New Brockton 21, Pisgah 42, North Sand Mountain 20, Plainview 49, Madison Academy 27, Pleasant Grove 49, Bibb County 46, Pleasant Valley 45, Section 7, Providence Christian 61, Houston County 8, Ragland 41, Eider 18, Randolph County 47, Beulah 0, Red Bay 44, Tanner 21, Realtown 54, Central Coosa, 6, Rogers 62, Elkmont 28, Russell County 49, Rehoboth 20, Russellville 27, Priceville 3, Sanrock 44, Gaston 28, Saraland 38, Theodore 14, Shoals Christian 21, Waterloo 20, Sipsey Valley 41, Selma 38, Slocum 47, Prattville Christian 27, South Choctaw Academy 38, Monroe Academy 17, South Lamar 46, Lynn 34, Southeastern Blount 42, West End Walnut Grove 0, Southern Academy 42, Clark Prep 0, Southside Selma 74, Thorsby 22, Spain Park 49, Chilton County 0, Sparkman 24, Florence 21, St. Clair County 27, Jacksonville 0, St. James 24, Munford 12, St. John Paul II 42, Danville 22, St. Michael 49, Orange Beach 7, Stanhope Elmore 35, Wetumpka 28, Sulligent 12, Aliceville 8, Sumter Central 60, Wilcox Central 38, Susan Moore 54, Cleveland 28, Sweetwater 35, Southern Choctaw 22, Sylvania 55, Brindley Mountain 14.
You got a long run there, Marcus.
That was a bunch of them.
Tallahassee 35, Talladega 0, Thomasville 50, Greensboro 16, Thompson 29, Prattville 15, Trinity 17, Houston Academy 14, UMS Wright 51, Faith of Mobile 6, University Charter 14, Linden 6, Vestavia Hills 39, Hoover 30, Victory Christian 49, Bill Green 24, Viger 28, BC Rain 6, Vincent 38, Geneva County 8, W.S. Neal 35, Mobile Christian 22, Wadley 49, Winterboro 13, West Blockton 14, Tarrant 0, West Morgan 42, Wilson 7, West Point 25, Ardmore 20, Westbrook Christian 63, Weaver 20, Westminster Huntsville 28, New Hope 25, Whitesburg Christian 49, Asbury 8, Wicksburg 49, Northside Methodist 14, Wilcox Academy 56, Sparta 14, Williamson 28, LaFleur 0, Winfield 47, Vinemont 7, and Winston County 49, Decatur Heritage 0. And when we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, we'll talk to Wayne Brett, the head volleyball coach of the UMS Wright Bulldogs.
Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. 56-team field is set for the AHSAA Volleyball Elite 8 State Championship Tournament. After, I guess, regional play in Montgomery and North Super Regional in Hoover, and in 5A, Wing Brett and the UMS Wright girls came out the victor and are the number one seed from the South. And I think we got Wing on there. Coach, good morning, and hope you're doing well, pal.
Good morning. Making me wake up early on an off day.
Well, I didn't blow the horn when I went by, so I really wanted
I appreciate
just,
that.
Wanted you to sleep in. But congratulations. Big win in Montgomery. And, boy, the last match against Briarwood was something to watch. I sat there amazed at how our young ladies played. I watched Briarwood, and they looked like a college team, and our young ladies just took it to them. And it's got to be a good feeling to go now to Birmingham in the Final Eight. And I'm not sure who you play. I would think that you'll be playing Arab. Is that correct?
I think it's Boaz.
Is it Boaz?
I think we got Boaz. Yeah.
I think
they posted the score wrong.
Did they?
And then they fixed it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, talk about this team, because it's a team that going into the season after winning a state championship, the first one for UMS Wright last year. Talk about these young ladies, because they are impressive.
Well, we had to replace some key parts, and we did it with some very young kids. I'm playing some freshmen and sophomores in some key roles, and I knew going into the season we had to mature. You know, we had a pretty competitive schedule throughout the season, got very competitive towards the end. We went to some big tournaments, and so replacing a MVP at the state championship, you know, I did it with a 10th grader. And so fortunately this past weekend, we kind of found our strides. You know, we're starting to gain that confidence, and looked really well. You know, it made it easy to coach when the kids played as well as they did.
We're talking to Wing Brett, the head volleyball coach at UMS Wright, defending state champion. And I would imagine that as you went around the state, went a lot of places playing, you have played a lot of the – and may have played a lot of the ones in 5A. You've seen a lot of these eight teams. How many have you seen this year?
We went to Briarwood this year. The Briarwood coach hosted a 5A only tournament. There were 16 teams there, so we got to see a lot of the teams. We did not play Boaz. We got to see Arab. Gunnersville, have not seen them at all. They've stayed up in the north of the state. Now, we do have some like opponents, but as far as all the, let's see, AP Brewers, the other team out of the north.
Yeah.
We have not seen them, but everybody in the south, obviously, we've seen multiple times and have not played Montgomery Catholic, watched them play. So there's some really, really good teams left. And, it's going to be tough.
Well, and you had a really good match against Faith Academy in the tournament in the South Regional. Talk a little bit about your win over Faith Academy.
Well, they got us earlier in the year. We went to their house, and they had a big student body there, and they kind of made us nervous. Of course, it was middle of the season. I was still searching for a lineup. But the first set, they got out on us. We were a little tight, and we ran them down and got them late in the set. And then the second and third set, we played very confident and very we controlled the ball. I always tell them, you got to take care of the easy balls and run your offense. The hard ones, you know, those are going to come and go. But the easy ones you got to take care of, and we did an incredible job. My defensive players, Madeline Prine and Ella Claire Sullivan, just had a great four-match week playing at the regions. They passed the ball and defended really well in the backcourt. You know, it's a key to your team. If you can control the ball and get it to your setter, life's a lot better.
We're talking to Wayne Brett, the head volleyball coach at UMS Wright, the defending 5A state champions. And tell me if I'm wrong here, but watching Briarwood, I mean, they look like they had kids serving the ball like college kids. I mean,
they've got one that jump serves. We haven't seen much of that in the past. Usually the kids that jump serve like that have big arm swings. Also, your big hitters, so you're adding extra reps to them. But yeah, they're one player. She put some pressure on us, so you know that's some things we're going to try to work on. I don't know if we'll see them again. Of course, you got to win your matches. If we see them, it'll be in the finals. But I don't want to be not ready for another jump server like that.
Well, you're no tennis player. You can get you a big oversized tennis racket and go back there and, and bomb it away, because I'm telling you, they were killing it. But I love your defenders. I thought that, boy, the way they returned that serve, sometimes on two knees, sometimes falling down, just amazing the way your defenders defended that serve.
Yeah, you know, that leather ball that you play in the tournament, it moves a lot. And so, yeah, you've got to be willing to sacrifice a little bit sometimes to just keep that ball off the floor. And, you know, your team's got to make it better. Your setters have got to make it better. I've got a freshman setting and I've got a senior setting. So, it's got to run them down sometimes.
All right, so your plans now, you play, I think it starts Tuesday in Birmingham, and that, tell me the location in Birmingham, because I hadn't been able to find that.
Yeah, it's the Crossplex.
Okay.
They built this, built this, where they do the indoor track.
Right.
So
it's what we know of as Fair Park, Mark.
Yeah, quite a
Fair
facility. Yeah.
Great facility, that's right.
Yeah.
So what are your travel plans?
We'll go up Monday. We'll leave about 2, make our way up, do our traditional stops, because we, you know, I hate to say we're creatures of a habit, but there's a couple places we like to stop along the way. We go to the Conecuh Sausage Place.
Evergreen, and, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pass that up.
It is.
It's got, you know, it's a great place. And then we'll eat, and then we'll stay at the Winfrey. That's where they're putting the teams this year.
Right.
And
Well, it's I know it's a great time of year. volleyball is continues to be strong here in South Alabama, and you certainly have renewed so much interest in UMS Wright volleyball, and it's not surprising to those of us who know you and your teams. But nothing but the best. Hope you play as well as you can play in Birmingham. And thank you for taking some time out early this morning. But I know you're going to be on the road pretty soon because you'll be heading south. But we appreciate you and mighty proud of you and the job that you do.
I appreciate it, Coach Cleveland.
Take care. That's Wing Take Brett. Care, thank you. Yeah, that's Wing Brett. And also, I do want to say this. The head volleyball coach at McGill-Tulin won that South Regional as well. And I'm trying to find where they are. Bayside, they beat Bayside in the finals. And I think her name, I want to say White is her last name, but I tried to reach her. They're practicing this morning and from 8 to 10. And we just couldn't work it out. But congratulations to the McGill-Tulin ladies. And I know Ann Schilling's ladies are right there in Birmingham as well as a number two seed. St. Paul's is there as well. And Enterprise is the fourth seed coming out of the South. But that's three great volleyball programs in 7A, McGill, Bayside, and St. Paul's. And you were talking about this earlier. That's one of your focal points, Bayside playing in 7A.
Yeah,
that's a tough,
because it's not, you know, as the years go by, as we go through next year, the year after that, think about it, is a 7A school is going to draw from 300 or 400 girls.
Yeah,
ours is going to draw from, in our normal class size at our school, is going to be between 60 and 72, right along in there. So take half of that, 31 to 38 kids.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of disparity.
Oh, there's
there.
No doubt, you know, there's so a disparity. Competitive balance is completely unfair in that situation. But the multiplier 1.35, and I think at one point in time there were talks on the table to get the multiplier taken off, but they never did it.
They said
they were going to do it, but they never did it. And, you know, we need competitive balance to be across the board. And if it's not across the board, I do think that the private schools will leave the AHSAA. And I think that's bad. That's my whole point.
I think worry about it a great deal. I really do.
Well,
but at the same time, we just feel – I mean, private schools feel like they're just getting punished everywhere you turn. It's not going to get any better.
Well, and I understand that. But somehow there's got to be brighter minds that come together to find a way to appease everybody as much as possible with compromise.
I agree.
And so as we go forward, I always believe we're better together. But if we are separate and they do those things, or they don't do the things that they need to do to make competitive balance across the board, then I don't think there's any choice except to do what the private schools want to do. What I don't want to see, I never want to see the legislature involved with the AHSAA making the rules. I have watched the legislature in session. That is almost a comedy show. It really is. And
I hope that never happens.
That's the main thing, is we never get the legislature involved with the AHSAA. And we've got some representatives down here in the South that I'd just like to have 30 minutes with them to look them in the eye, just to find out how much they know about high school sports and managing high school sports in the state of Alabama. When we return, we're going to go over.
Going to do a little True Grit.
There we go. We're going to go over the True Grit Award winners for this week, and that'll be Mark Lassiter doing that when we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some True Grit Awards, and I'm going to let Mark take that. And Mark, we sure appreciate, we appreciate all of our sponsors. I mean, beginning 26 years, and You know, these folks are so gracious to us and support high school sports and high school athletics in general. We're so appreciative of them. And you can hear those commercials every week about some great sponsors that that we talk about. And, I would throw this in. All three of us here have dealt with Chris Garris and Keom and Tyler over at Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive. You can reach them at 251-478-4500. And, you know, if you have a little fender bender, I had a fender bender a couple of weeks ago. I backed in with my trailer hitch and hit a lady that was parked right behind me in our neighborhood. Yeah, almost $5,000. And it's not – I mean, it's unbelievable how much small accidents cost. But, boy, if you take it to Chris Garris and those guys at Premier Collision, they will make you feel like you're part of the family. And we certainly appreciate everything that they do for high school sports in the state of Alabama and around here in Mobile. That's the place you want to go. I mean, I'm just telling you, they you feel like family when you walk out of there and your car's fixed and you get in and drive it. Mark's driving brand new cars now that Chris is taking care of, and they're 25 years old in some cases. So appreciate them. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. Monday through Friday, they're there from sunup to sundown. On the weekends, they take a little break. So give them a call on Monday. You'll be glad you did.
You know, we started this True Grit Award this year. It was kind of a Blue Water Millworks wanted to do something to just talk about some kids who may not get a whole lot of recognition, or they, some of them might, but they have these characteristics of a young man who comes to work every day, shows up every day, shows up on time, leaves late. He's the guy that every coach can count on, knows he's going to be there. If the trash needs to be emptied, he's going to empty the trash. If he needs to play on a special team, he's going to play on a special team. Whatever it takes, these are the guys that are the True Grit guys, the guys who are made up of the right stuff. And this is kind of what Blue Water Millworks and my good friend Robert Deneve have said they just want to be a part of that. And so we are continuing that. And each week we try to reach out and get coaches from all of our schools in our listening area to join us with this. And we've got four more today that we're going to give awards to from four different schools. And so we're just really proud of being able to do this award, a True Grit Award, for this Saturday. First of all, from Theodore High School, Coach Steve Mask sent in a young man by the name of Pierre Bethune, and he is their True Grit Award winner from Theodore High School, Pierre Bethune. From Foley, Derek Scott sent in William Quarles. William Quarles is their True Grit Award winner. From Satsuma, Rodney Jordan sent in Jason Mabian. I think I pronounced that right. Jason Mabian from Satsuma High School is their True Grit Award winner. And from Mary Montgomery, Zach Golson sent in Daniel Robinson. Daniel Robinson from Mary Montgomery. So congratulations to you four guys and to your schools and for what you represent, the true grit of your school, your family, your community. And you kind of show all those things in what you do playing football for your school and your and for your and your teammates. They all appreciate it. And I know your coaches appreciate it, or they would not have put your name on there. So thank you, Blue Water Millworks, for sponsoring this for us, and congratulations to those True Grit Award winners.
Mark, let's go over some local scores here, and I'll try to get as many. I got them all, so we'll go through them. Last night, Sarah Land 38, Theodore 14. Jeff Kelly and his Sarah Land Spartans win another region title. Theodore finishes second. They'll both have home games next week, not in 2 weeks. Jackson 49, Satsuma 14. Crowell had two carries for 128 yards.
Holy cow. I'm telling you, that guy is absolutely special.
We got to flip him to Auburn. We got to flip him to Auburn.
No, we don't need to do that. No, yeah. Let's just leave that alone.
You want to leave it alone?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. W.S. Neal, 35, Mobile Christian, 22. McGill Tulin, 45, Spanish Fort, 32. Baker, 35, Fairhope, 10. Baker wins the Region 1 title. Been a little bit of misconception. I noticed in the paper this morning they had Fairhope in Region 3. That's not the case. It's Region 1. Everything in Mobile and Baldwin County is Region 1. Thompson is in Region 3. That is the region where all of those slobber knocker games are played up in there. And then Auburn is in Region 2. Fairhope is in Region 1. Region 4 is Huntsville, Florence, and all that area.
And I think that's who Region 1 is matched up with in 7A in the first round this year.
For the first time.
A little bit there. We talked about that the very first of the season, talked about how that was going to make a little bit of a change.
And believe me, it's not making all the ones in Region 2 and 3 happy.
No, they're not.
They
they're
feel
not
like they're the eight best teams in the state,
right?
Which I'm not so sure they're not.
They may not be. Know. But we need to see other teams
play.
That's
exactly right. We need to jumble it up.
Yeah.
Kind of when we're playing Canasta or something. We need to shuffle the cards sometimes so you
won't
win all
the time. I couldn't play Canasta if I had to.
Now, let me tell you, my wife is pretty doggone good at a lot of card games, and I shuffle those cards a lot when I'm playing with Trace. I can tell you that. I mean it.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you.
I can't play cards. There's only one card I played very good. That was War. You remember how you played War?
You just
flipped the card over.
All right, we got a minute to get these. Williamson, 28, LaFleur, 0. St. Michael, 49, Orange Beach, 7. Gulf Shores, 31, Baldwin County, 12. Blount, 34, St. Paul's, 28, Bayside Academy, 23, T.R. Miller, 14. Congratulations to Coach Barrett Schroeder, we'll talk to later. Another region title. Chickasaw, 12, St. Luke's, 9. Congratulations to Chickasaw. They're in the playoffs, and congratulations to those folks up the road there. MGM, Mary Montgomery, 49, Davidson, 0, Viger, 28, B.C. Rain, 6, Citronelle, 33, Alberta, 7, Cottage Hill, 13, Flomaton, 7, Leroy, 51, Millry, 14, Foley, 26, Alma Bryant, 21, Daphne, 60, Robertsdale, 13, UMS Wright, 51, Faith Academy, 6, J.U. Blackshire, 54, Bayshore Christian, 3, Clark County, 34, Washington County, 21, Sweetwater, 35, Southern Choctaw, 22, Monroe County. Congratulations to those folks up in Monroeville. Monroe County, 28, XL, 14, McIntosh, 52, Fruitdale, 8, J.F. Shields, 31, Marengo, 12, B.B. Comer fell last night. Sylacauga got beat last night by Elmore County. Childersburg got beat. Tallahassee defeated Talladega last night 35-0. Tough night for our Talladega County fans. We appreciate everything that Lee Pearman, Michael Brannon, and the folks at Radio Alabama do to support high school sports. When we return, Eric Scott, head football coach at Baker High School.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
I love it. When I'm gone, I'm listening, and Randy says, when the big boy's away, the little boys will play. So now one of the little boys is away, and we're just keeping on doing what we're doing. And one of the guys that I'm just extremely proud and happy for is a guy that's really paid his dues, Mark. I'm going to tell you that. And Eric Scott at Baker, as the Baker Hornets won their first region championship in 36 years. And I bet if I asked Eric where he was 36 years ago, he can't tell me.
Probably not.
Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Doing great, buddy. It's great to hear your voice, pal.
Thank y'all for having me.
Well, you guys got off to a hot start last night against Fairhope, and that's a team that Baker's had their way with Fairhope for the last 4 years. But, you know, Eric, I think the thing that when you think about the job at Baker, and you've been there 5 years now, last year when Juan Johnson left and went to James Clements, they made a great decision in naming you the head coach. These are kids that you have nurtured and been with 4 or 5 years now, and this is a team that's very special to you. Talk a little bit about last night's game, because you guys got off to a really hot start.
Yeah, we came out and executed well on offense. I think on the second offensive play, we got the ball to Katori Marion in space, and he did some some really good things with and took it to the house and kind of got the scoring started there. We ended up getting a stop on defense, getting the ball back, and driving a short drive and going for it on fourth down, and they ended up getting a stop and got a good field position, ended up getting a field goal out of it. And so it ended up 7-3 real quick there. We answered back with a touchdown. And then it kind of went from there, kind of back and forth a little bit. They made drives there, but we really stepped it up defensively. Ended up coming out of there with a 35-10 victory. Really were proud of the way we came out after halftime, and really, I believe in coming out with energy after halftime. We came out with good energy, great execution in the second half, and ended up getting out of there with a win against a very good Fairhope team, and have a lot of respect for Coach Carter and that staff over there and what they do, and they're playing some good ball right now. Definitely appreciative of the way our guys played Friday night.
You know, Coach, looking back throughout, you know, Baker's history, I've always thought Baker was a sleeping giant. Ever since when I first got to this area back in 99, I just thought it was that kind of just going to take the right guys to get in there and get it done. Coach, tell me a little bit about what you feel like y'all have done to kind of get your guys to this point. You know, what's the difference? What's making this group so special?
Well, I think it's the fact that they've most of this team has come through the feeder program, and just staying in this community and having pride in this community, and watching the growth. These young men have continued to be a part of the program. With all the things we're seeing in college sports and in high school sports now with recruiting and everything, these guys have stayed the course and stayed in the program and developed in our program and developed in the system that's been brought here and what we're building here. And now you're seeing the fruits of that labor because it's been consistent is, I think, the word. The terminology hasn't changed. The verbiage is not the same. I mean, and they know we coach hard over here, but we're gonna love on you. But we're trying to achieve excellence.
We're talking to Coach Eric Scott, the head football coach at Baker High School. 35-10 win over Fairhope last night. Region 1 champions, first time in 36 years. And Coach, you know, when I follow you, one of the people and people always talk about the quarterback. That's just the way sports fans are. Really impressed with Tate Graham.
Yeah, and as they should be, the sports fans should look at the quarterback, because on every level, in my opinion, when you look from NFL on down to high school, you're not a good football team. You don't have a good quarterback.
Amen.
And Tate Graham has stabilized our program and taken it to the next level. I can't say enough good things about that young man. His preparation during the week and the way he shows up every day, and now he's becoming a verbal leader, and he's backing up his leadership with his play, and you can't ask for nothing more than that from a young man and his growth.
And Katori Marion has just been outstanding. Those two must have a great relationship, because it seems like every week when I read about you or talk to you that Katori Marion's just made big plays for you.
Yeah, he's just coming into his own, and he's really just embracing that, and they're really connecting at a high level right now. And you know, kind of one of them deals, once you get them going, man, you kind of hard to stop them. So now they're hitting on all cylinders, and that's kind of how you want to be at the end of the season. You want to get hot here, and I think they're getting hot, and they're finally getting their rhythm, and we want to make sure we can continue to come out and start fast in games, and we did that Friday night.
You know, Coach, we've kind of rearranged the 7A playoffs, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's really good, because we've been playing either Birmingham or Auburn, Opelika, those guys. This year we have the Huntsville teams, Florence and Huntsville teams in, and even though I know you've got a big game next week against Vigor, and every game is huge to you and your team. But do you have any idea about who you may be hosting in the first week of the playoffs?
I call myself, we call ourselves looking at it after the game last night. And to be honest with you, Rick, man, we have no clue. All four teams up there are 5-2 with losses and wins
against each other,
man. It's a mess. You hear me? So we quickly stopped looking at that. Yeah. Like, we'll let the state figure that out. We'll talk about that next week. So we're going to focus on Vigor. And we'll wait till they tell us who we gonna play.
I like that.
I do too.
I love that comment because I'm up at 1:15, 1:30 this morning doing the same thing you were, Coach. I don't have a clue who you play.
Clue? So, no. I don't know.
It's big now. So, talk a little bit about your weekends and how you handle the players, how you guys deal with it. I'm seeing lots of teams that are coming in on Sunday and doing a little bit of running just to make sure that they're stretched out and not missing, you know, you're not missing any early week injuries that you might have obtained in Friday night's game.
That's so true, Rick. That's where we're at. And Juan Johnson, I can't take credit for that. He brought that thought philosophy in last year of coming in on Sundays, and we've maintained that throughout this year. So we come in on Sunday and get the guys in, and then we'll have a motivational speech, you know what I'm saying? I'll talk about the game, my thoughts, and then we'll have a guy. Our Coach Sanders does a great job with what we call a swarm meeting. And then we'll get started, and we'll do meetings, weights, and then let those guys get out of there just to go ahead and get that initial Friday night game, evals, grades, all that type of stuff, get that out the way so Monday we can come in and focus on the new opponent. And that's kind of how we do it. So we come in, we are one of those teams that come in on Sunday, and then we start our week off with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we're going to have to adjust that this week. So we'll actually practice on Sunday since we got a Thursday night game coming up this week. So we'll get that schedule compacted a little bit this week.
So you do have Vigor coming to your place Thursday night, and I like that. Lots of teams. I don't think we have but like four or five games on Friday night. Most of our games are on Thursday night this week. But, Eric, congratulations. I hope you're able to get some rest today. I don't know who Southern Mississippi plays today. Do they play today?
They do play today, and I can't think of it for the life of me.
See, that
right
tells
now,
you right there how focused this guy is.
That's
because
right.
I can tell you.
I knew every week but this one, I can tell you that. And it's homecoming. I'm sorry, but I can't even tell you who it is right now.
That's all right, brother.
That's all right.
I didn't even look up. I had my head down all week.
Coach, congratulations, Region 1 champions. That's a big feather in everybody's cap there at Baker High School. All the kids are going to be happy on Monday. You're just going to have a great week because when football is great, it seems like school is great too, Coach. Thanks,
hey,
Butch.
Man, don't the sun shine better when
it sure does, Eric.
It
sure does. Good luck, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Thank y'all, man.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, we'll talk to David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill-Tulane, who more probably should have turned over the play calling duties to him when he was in Bryan.
I did.
You did.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and appreciate Eric Scott jumping on with us, and we're going to go now to David Faulkner, who's brought to you by Will 2. I love that. Will 2 does a lot of stuff. I heard Will 2 touchdown a bunch last night, and I'm telling you, only thing I didn't hear, Mark, was the cannon going off. That's
The cannon didn't go off over there.
No, it didn't go off much. Of course, they were playing that. Were they playing at Baker or Fairhope last night? I think they played.
Who, David?
David was playing. I'm sorry. We started talking about two different things.
Yeah, you're talking about Eric was over at Fairhope playing.
Yeah. But anyway, David Faulkner, McGill-Tulane knocks off Spanish Fort last night, 45-32, and a lot of impressive things last night. Coach, congratulations. And, of course, David is brought to you by our good friends at Will 2. And congratulations on a big 6A Region 1 win. Secured, I think, a playoff spot.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on this morning. Well, you know, we were fighting to get in, and this week we'll have to fight to stay in. We need to win this week in order to stay in the playoff hunt. But as of right now, we're sitting in, you know, in that fourth spot, I believe.
Well, and tell me if I'm wrong, and I looked at it last night for as long as I could look at it without falling asleep. I think you're about 99.9. I don't know how you can not be in the playoffs. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I really hadn't looked at that a whole lot either in terms of how the tiebreakers would come down. But I think if we were to lose and St. Paul's were to beat Spanish Fort, then I think we're in that way too.
Yeah.
So we may be in regardless. I don't know. I hadn't looked at that. I just know that, you know, we need to, 100% guarantee it. We need to finish this week with a win and find a way to continue playing well, moving into the playoffs.
Well, I got to that point, and it goes head to head, and head to head, you do win. So that's where I am with that. So,
yes, sir.
Great win. I mean, you started off like gangbusters. Miller being back for you. I mean, he has four touchdowns. Really impressed with your offensive line. Really impressed with Barret. Boy, David, your team has really been on a good streak here, four in a row. What turned it around, David?
You know, we played well at times early in the year, and, you know, we lost the one-point game to Daphne, and then we lost the 10-6 game to Gulf Shores. And then, you know, after the Saraland game, you know, just as a staff and a coaching staff, we just decided that, hey, we're going to go into our kids. We're going to say, hey, we're going to hit the reset button, and we're starting season two right now. So as far as we're concerned, we're starting playoff football this week. And we've kind of approached it with that sense of urgency, and our kids have kind of bought into that. And, you know, like I said, we've done some things in practice to increase some competition and things like that. And I think that's paid off for us. And our kids have just really responded to that sense of urgency that we try to create.
Well, you know, it was like, David, when you look at the first part of your season, y'all were really playing some really quality football teams. They were really good football teams. And you said that before. When we started this year, I remember an interview we did back in August. We were talking about how the early part of that season was going to be a tester for you, and felt like if y'all could get through it and then come through the backside of it, things might start to move in your direction. And it looks like it's paid off. And one of those things that you and I have talked about a million times is how you get better throughout the year. That's what, you know, does my team get better? I think you've done that. I think that you've been able to do that. Would you explain to us, to the listeners, how that happens?
Well, I think it's, you know, the value you find in practice. You know, one of the things that we try to sell to our kids is, you know, you got to do it right in practice if you want to do it right in the game. And that, you know, that everything from watching film to the weight room to the on-the-field practice is preparation for the upcoming opponent. And you got to be efficient in that. You can't have your team running out of gas late in the year. So you got to be smart in terms of what your efficiency is of that. But you got to keep, you know, teach and take every rep as a Friday night rep. And that's what we try to get out of our kids, is that, hey, we're not going to go out here and take 1,000 reps today, but we're going to go out here and take 50 to 60 quality reps, and we want those to be Friday night quality reps. And I think if you can do that and practice with that type of intensity and focus, I think it helps you get better throughout the year, and our kids have done a really good job of that.
We're talking to David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill Tulin, brought to you by Will Two. And, you know, David, you see Miller has been a boy. He has been really good for y'all year as a junior. But I'm going to tell you the guy that really impressed me last night with his quickness and flashiness and was that young sophomore, Seth Demui. He had some big runs for you at critical times on second long and third and short and stuff like that. Tamui did a really outstanding job, but that's because of what the offensive line's doing. But he was bumping things around, moving from one gap to another. I was really impressed with the young sophomore, David.
Yeah, Seth is just one of those guys. He's only got one speed, and that's wide open. So if you can't do a drill or anything that you're like, hey, we want to slow it down right here. If you want to slow it down, don't put Seth in there because he's going to go wide open. So, and that's the way he practices, and that's the way he plays, and we're really excited about him. He's gotten better and better throughout the season, and really played well in JV games, and then earned some reps on Friday night, and just continues to earn carries and time. And he's a nice little changeup. Him and Ladarian are two different type backs. They got two different type styles, and you know he kind of changes things up for you when he comes in the game. But we know that we put him in there that we're gonna get a hard nosed downhill runner. And Seth's just a football player. He loves to play football, and he's done a really nice job for us. And like you said, our offensive line continues to improve, and just kind of. Everybody's kind of getting better together as we go.
When you look at it, too, Blaine Bure just continues to amaze me. The way he handles the ball, his ball fakes, his loads run. I just call them quarterback loads when you follow him up in there into a gap after they take the dive away from you. And, boy, he gets a second gear going, and he's strong. He's strong, and I thought he did a great job for you last night.
He did, and he's you know, we've kind of got to the point now where we have to run him more to help our run game some, and you know, and he's a quarterback with tailback ability, and if he gets a seam, he can score from anywhere on the field, and you know, and he's a good leader. He's one of the hardest workers on our team, and the other guys really respond to Blaine and rally around him, and you know, he's definitely a key piece in what we try to do as an offense, and just adds another dimension to the run game.
Talk a little bit about the weekend, how you guys go about the weekend. We just talked to Eric Scott. A lot of teams now come in on Sunday, making sure that no injuries are lingering around from Friday night. Talk a little bit about what you guys do there at McGill.
Yeah, so at McGill, you know, we kind of take Saturdays and do the stats and do the grading and try to just kind of close out Friday night. And then we'll come back in on Sunday afternoon. We let everybody go to church, go to lunch with their family, and then we come in on Sunday afternoon and sit down as a staff and start breaking down the opponent for the next week. And, you know, our first meeting is always on special teams, so we'll have a staff meeting, and then we'll go into our opponent's special teams looks, and then after that we'll break off into offense, defense, and start trying to you know, look at their schemes and their personnel and just try to fit those things up that we do well that we think may be an advantage for us, and get it ready for the kids when they come in on Monday morning.
So Baldwin County comes to the Lip next Friday night, one of only five Friday night games, I think. And so that will be your final game of the regular season, and you prepare for the playoffs. And, you know, let's just hope that you're injury-free and you got everybody back. And, boy, we appreciate you, and it was a great win. Just a great win for you, David.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
You take care.
Take care, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you, Mark.
I'm going to tell you right now, he is a fine, fine football coach.
Done a good job. Got that thing going.
He's got it going. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, we'll talk to Barrett Trotter from Bayside, Region 1 champion.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Well, when the little guy's away, fat guys will play.
Easy. Easy with the fat guys.
Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and we appreciate Eric Scott and David Faulkner joining us, and so happy to bring in Barrett Trotter, head football coach at Bayside Academy. Barrett, let me ask you this. What were you doing in 2011?
2011, we were that was the year I was starting at Auburn, so still in college.
Still in college. Having a great time. Time of your life.
That's right.
Well, first region championship since 2011. Congratulations, 23-14 win over T.R. Miller on the road on a celebratory night at Bruton. Ronnie Cottrell had told me earlier in the week they're bringing in a lot of the older guys, and so it was a big night over there, and you spoil it for them, 23-14. Congratulations. Talk a little bit about the good, the bad, and the ugly last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It was my first time playing a game at Bruton up at Miller. Man, what a great environment.
Yeah.
Great stadium. I mean, they had a packed house, obviously, with all the things they had going on. And our guys went in there and didn't let any of that distract them or anything like that, and thought they, you know, played a four-quarter game. We had them kind of up against the ropes, you know, going into the fourth quarter, and they fought back and made us work for it at the end. But at the end of the day, man, I'm really just proud of our kids, proud of the effort they gave all night, and they have this season, because it doesn't come easy for us to win this region, have the road game wins that we've had. Man, it's been a challenge. So for us to go in and play like that and finish the way we needed to finish, and you know, it's fun. Glad to see it, and glad that hard work's paying off for our coaches and kids and everybody.
You know, Barrett, when you look at a new coach coming in, always think about, I think from a coach's standpoint, and that's the way we think. But when did you really feel like you had gotten dug in and you really began to feel comfortable and the kids had bought into everything you're doing? Because obviously now everybody's bought in. It's just a complete team now. But when did that hit you? When you laid your head down on a pillow at night, at what point in time did you feel like, yep, they got it? They understand where I'm trying to go, what I'm trying to do. When did that take place?
Well, you know, I think it's been a process. I mean, even from the first year I was here, there were certainly challenges and times where you're frustrated at different things. You realize, you know, hey, they haven't quite grasped this concept yet, or understand what we're looking for, or understand what we're doing. But at the same time, a foundation was built in those first 2 years, and even the first year, when you go out and win the St. Michael's game in overtime and win some other really close games. And you could see, man, they don't have it yet, but they're working. And I'd say it's still the same thing right now, man. We have not arrived, but man, they're working hard, and they understand what we ask them to do. And most of the time, they know the correction before we ever tell them. You know, they go make a bad play or do something they already know the problem. They already know the correction with it. And that's just because, you know, our coaches do a great job coaching them and helping them understand they're never going to play perfect. But at the same time, they know what they need to do, and that's half the battle. They can play with their feet in the ground and not have to be thinking nonstop. They've already got those small details and small things, you know, built in to their brain, where it just comes a little bit second nature. And that's what I think we're seeing the benefits of now, is just reps and reps over a course of, you know, 2 and 3 years. And these kids are really just starting to get better and better and better. And that's obviously showing up on Friday nights now.
You know, we're talking with Barrett Trotter, the head football coach at Bayside Academy, region champions. Last night, big win at T.R. Miller. Barrett, tell us a little bit. You know, we talk a lot about, we hear a lot about some guys on our team. We hear the two linebackers, Billy Neal and Monroe Parton, tremendous football players. There's a group of guys that we don't talk about a lot, but they're really instrumental in where this team is right now, and that's the guys up front on our offensive line.
Man.
And
no
tell
doubt.
A little bit about those. They have really come on this year.
I mean, we've got a young group right now on the offensive line with really just one true senior and another guy that plays both ways that's still playing for us on the offensive line. But and we've got four young guys up there and a center who's, you know, a freshman right now that's been starting all year long. And man, they are just absolutely mauling people. They have done an incredible job, and it's not just, you know, gap scheme right, gap scheme left. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of different run concepts to just attack what they give us up front. And man, it's been fun to watch those guys grow and get better and play really sound football and just absolutely mash people. I mean, we're trying to throw RPOs the last few games, and we're getting called for linemen downfield. I'm like, what the heck is going on? It's because our offensive line is just driving their guy 4 or 5 yards down the field to the point that I think the ref, I mean, it's obvious. Like, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be linemen downfield. And it's not because, you know, they're not doing their job. It's because they're doing it too well. So, I mean, last night we dominated up front and won the line of scrimmage, and ultimately that won us the game.
You know, I think that's a compliment to those offensive linemen, but I also think it's a compliment to a young coach that you brought in from UMS Wright and Brandon Dean.
Absolutely.
A guy with passion, a guy that loves that position, played it himself. I just think it was a great hire, and told you that initially. I just think it's a great hire, and he's got a lot of passion for the game, and he knows how to teach offensive linemen to do what they need to do.
Man, he's come in and been a huge, huge addition for us and a huge pickup, a great coach, a great guy to work with. And, man, when we get in there on Sundays and game plan, you know, I think it was a little bit of a transition for him just offensively. You come in and now, you know, in really about a month, I'm telling him, hey, man, like, I need you to get caught up on everything. And, man, he dialed in and knows exactly what we're doing, and not only knows it, but, man, helps those kids learn and understand it. And coach them up, and they've done a heck of a job.
Well, now you have one more regular season game. Josh Wright brings his Tuscaloosa Academy team into Bayside next Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
Y'all are playing Friday. Yeah.
Playing Friday.
And, you know, that sometimes people don't understand that's still a huge, huge important game. Because you want to keep clicking on all cylinders and you want to polish. So talk a little bit about preparation for TA.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to really watch them yet. We were more focused on Miller. But in general, our non-region games are games that we try to get to prepare us for the playoffs. Even though they're tough games, even though they're not, you know, you're not necessarily trying to find a cupcake team. You want somebody that's going to help you down the road, get better. So you can put stuff on film to get corrections you want and see things that you might not have seen. And TA kind of fits that bill of, man, they're going, if they are like they were last year, I mean, they're going to throw the heck out of the football. They're going to give us a lot of different stuff in the pass game offensively. And then defensively, you know, they were a true odd front team last year, with fives and a head up nose. And if I'm remembering playing cover four and kind of two trappish looks. So just a lot of stuff that we haven't seen a whole lot of. And so it's good for us to attack different looks and see different things offensively and defensively to help us prepare. I mean, this year, you know, out of those four non-region games was St. Michael's, obviously, who's, I would say, best in the state throwing the football. So a tough game. Why do you do that? Why would you want that? Well, to help us prepare for when we see teams that are throwing the football in the playoffs. Orange Beach is a great mix of run and pass and RPO, 11 personnel. Marbury was, you know, heavy run, kind of 22 personnel, shove it down your throat kind of team offensively. And then now we'll face TA, which is kind of a spread team, and get the ball out and throw. So, man, it's a good mix of things we try to make sure we get to see before the playoffs, because ultimately that's when it really matters.
You know, Barrett, there's another thing that I don't know who saw this last night, but the three our three region opponents that, you know, that we had to beat, that we finished ahead of, Flomaton, Cottage Hill, and T.R. Miller, our team actually beat all three of those on the road. What do you what can you attribute that to?
I mean, honestly, our defense has just played lights out. Our offensive line has dominated up front pretty much every team we've played. And offensively, we've made explosive plays on offense, and we've gotten turnovers on defense that have turned into explosive plays. And would have had one more last night. We had a pick six right before half that would have been, I mean, just an absolute game changer for momentum going into halftime. And the pick is great. Don't get me wrong, but man, you go tack 7 points onto that. You know, the last play of half, and you're feeling just unbelievable about the first half of play. So, I mean, really, I think it's a combination of all of those things and the fact that we've got a veteran group that believes in themselves and knows that if we play well and we execute, I don't think there's anybody that can stop us.
You know, that's really a point, and we're talking to Barrett Trotter, the head football coach at Bayside Academy, and it's really a really big point. When you score right before halftime, especially when you win the toss and defer to the second half,
yeah,
that can make a huge, huge difference in a football game. So I have a question for you that you do the 22s, the 11s, all of those numbers.
I do the same thing.
I mean, they blow my mind because, you know, that's you young guys. Y'all have come up with that, and y'all have done a great job. What is empty? What do you call empty?
Well, the personnel is very different than what you're talking about formationally. So you could still be in 22 personnel. We could be in a heavy personnel package and still theoretically line up in empty. But like, you know, when you're talking 12 personnel, generally is one back, two tight ends. So you're thinking some kind of, you know, traditional pro set.
Right.
When you think 10 personnel, you're thinking true, you know, they got one running back, no tight ends, and four true receivers on the field.
Right. Yep.
But I mean, you could be in 10 personnel and being empty, and you could be in 22 personnel and still being empty. And you know, I like to do probably more than we need to as far as that kind of stuff goes and make it hard on those defense coordinators when they watch the tape on a Saturday or Sunday. I want them thinking, oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into?
I will tell you this, when Barrett starts talking about 12 and 20, I'm over there right now. Okay, the one stands for what now?
Hey, Barrett, thanks a bunch, pal. Enjoy your family today. Have a great weekend. Congratulations on a region championship, pal.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Take care. Man. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Press Force Report, and thank you for all the things that you say to us on our messages about the Camp Grace segment. We're so thankful that we have people that love the Camp Grace segment with Mark Lassiter. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, this week, Coach, you sent a devotional to me, which I read it, and I was like, holy cow, that's pretty awesome. And so without further ado, I'm not going to say anything about it. Just listen to this little anecdote. I think you'll enjoy it. The name of it is, the hope for me is that you'll find this good for you. It's called Just Stay. A nurse took the tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside. "Your son is here," she said to the old man. She had to repeat the word several times before the patient's eyes opened. Heavily sedated because of the pain in his heart, he dimly saw the young uniformed Marine standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hand. The Marine wrapped his toughened fingers around the old one's limp ones, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. The nurse brought a chair so that the Marine could sit beside the bed. All through the night, the young Marine sat there in the poorly lighted ward, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and strength. Occasionally, the nurse suggested the Marine move away and rest a while. He refused. Whenever the nurse came to the ward, the Marine was oblivious of her and the night noises of the hospital, the clanking of the oxygen tank, and the laughter of the night staff members exchanging greetings, the cries and moans of other patients. Now and then she heard him say a few gentle words. The dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. Along towards dawn, the old man died. The Marine released the now lifeless hand he had been holding and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. Finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her. "Who was that man?" he asked. The nurse was startled. "He was your father," she answered. "No, he wasn't," the man replied. "I never saw him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when you took to him?" I knew right away there had been a mistake, but I also knew this man needed his son, and his son just wasn't there. When I realized that he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed me, I stayed. I came here tonight to find Mr. William Gray. His son was killed in Iraq today, and I was sent to inform him. What was that gentleman's name? The nurse, with tears in her eyes answered, "Mr. William Gray." The next time someone needs you, just be there. Just stay.
I'll be honest with you, Mark. I sent that to you because I'm sitting there with tears running down my face. And, that's...
Well, that's a good one, buddy.
That's strong.
You know, you just have to, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about this a lot, but, you know, that story just reemphasizes. It's also something that we have to understand as we get older. These things are going to, this type of thing is going to become more prevalent in our life. You know, we have friends that are pass away. We have loved ones that pass away. I had a cousin of mine who was in town this week from up near Gadsden and Glencoe, and got to sit down with Fred and talk with him and his wife. And my uncle, my dad's brother, had passed away a few weeks back. And Uncle Jerry was just one of those guys that, man, he and I hunted many a quail together in the river bottoms of the Coosa River up outside of Coates Bend with my dad. And, you know, and I was talking to Fred, and he said it was tough to let him go, but it was time. He needed to go. He goes, but it was hard. And all Jerry wanted was his son to be there and his daughters to be there. Yeah. All this guy wanted was just somebody to be there. Just be with me so I'm not alone. How many people in our world today are alone?
Wow.
And what can we do to help them? And I think what that message says is just stay. Be present. Be there for them. You don't really have to say anything. Just be there and hold their hand.
You know, we all have people in our life that are there, but they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go about every day, all they want you to do is be there. And that's what we can do for them. We can be there. I have a lot of time being retired. And Terry Curtis told me 3 years ago I was thinking about retiring, and he said, find you something to do. Find you something to do. All you've done all your life is work. And when you retire, there's not going to be a job for you to go to. He said, but there is a job for you. There's a lot of people out there who need help from retired people that still are available to help. Never forget Terry Curtis telling me that, and how true,
very true,
how much wisdom that was. I still don't do as much of it as I want to do. And if you want to do something, you'll do it. And I think about Jimmy Perry up at Lake Martin. All he dreamed about when he retired
was fishing,
yeah. Getting in his boat and going out there and fishing. That's all, he and Judy just enjoying their boat on the lake, wetting a hook. He's fighting every day for his life.
That's
now.
Right.
And as coaches, there's so many people in our life. We lost a young man from our 2005 state championship team this past week. Tom Leatherberry Jr. was out hunting, killed the big buck he'd been hunting for 2 years. got to his truck, dropped dead of a heart attack. Sweetest man, young man, toughest little fullback you've ever been around. John Blackman said he's the best player he'd ever seen when we played him at Jackson. And John, he's not just saying it because – saying it because he means it.
That's right.
And it just so happened that that 2005 team was having a reunion Friday night. Got word on Thursday that Tom Jr. had passed away. All of those boys were in town. They went up to the camp where he was and waited with Tom's dad for the coroner to get there to identify him. They were there for him.
Yep.
They were there for Mr. Leatherby.
That's right.
When they needed to be there.
That's right.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks to all of our guests today. We appreciate Eric Scott and David Faulkner, Wayne Britt, and Barrett Trotter. Appreciate them. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you.